ध्यायामोदबलावकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीनष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुर सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। The 107th shloka, as well as the next two shlokas, 108 and 109, Shankara speaks about the next sadhana, next step or anga, which is maunam. So maunam has different faces. Like we can, even as tyagam or renunciation has different aspects, different perspectives, different versions or different meanings. Similarly, maunam also has different meanings associated with it. But real maunam is what Shankara is trying to point out. So any of these sadhanas, any of the Vedantic sadhana, if we want to really understand and implement it in the right way and achieve the goal of Brahman, then we have to associate it with Brahman. So any activity which is not associated with Brahman or Paramatma or Ishvara, Bhagavan, whatever is the word, however we term it, we have to associate it with Brahman. If we don't associate with Brahman, then it will not lead us in the right direction. So as long as any activity that we do remembering Brahman or focusing on Brahman, that is a sadhana which will lead us to moksha. And even if the greatest of sadhana like dhyanam or samadhi or bhajanam, devotion, bhakti or jnanam, learning from a learned master like Shankaracharya's, or having been devoted to Vishnu or Shiva, but if we don't remember Brahman, if we don't apprehend Brahman or associate Brahman with it, then that sadhana will not be useful to us. It will end up with intellectual debates for a jnani, a person who has learned, a person who has gained knowledge. He will start arguing, he will enter into intellectual debates. So he is not a jnani because he has only learned scripture, he hasn't implemented it, his intellect hasn't yet been convinced. A jnani is a person whose intellect is convinced of Brahman, which means that he will be following the sadhanas that will make him a jnana nishtha, that will give him jnana nishtha, that will make him a jivan mukta. Similarly, like people who worship various devatas without apprehending Brahman, those devatas, then such people will end up fighting amongst each other in the name of God, like Shiva and Vishnu, Vaishnava and Shaivites fight and all. So my God is greater, your God is greater. Oh, you shouldn't say that this God is not there, that God is not there. Oh, you say that Shiva and Vishnu are also unreal. How can you say that? Okay, Brahma is unreal, Indra is unreal, as Bhagavatam says, but how can you say Shiva and Vishnu are unreal? It's not right. Why? Bhakti Vedanta Prabhupada, the ISKCON founder Prabhupada, says that Vishnu or Krishna is supreme. Krishna is supreme Brahman. And Vishnu and Shiva are not unreal, they are real. That's what he says. Such will be the argument, false argument of people who don't know the scriptures and people who are in those foundations, in those organizations. They will also be fighting amongst each other in the name of God. So the fight of Dvaita, or the traditional Dvaitins who are followers of Madhvacharya, and the Dvaitins or self-proclaimed Dvaitins who are followers of Bhakti Prabhupada, the ISKCON founder, they argue saying that Prabhupada's followers claim that their heritage or their lineage comes from Madhvacharya. So they are traditional Dvaitins, so their system is authentic. Whereas the traditional Dvaitins claim that theories don't match. Madhvacharya's theories are in contrary They are contradictory to what Prabhupada says. Therefore, he is not in the lineage. And unless a person is in the proper lineage, he cannot be accepted as authentic. All such doubts, all such problems will arise if we don't really apprehend the truth in the right way. There is no lineage. There is no argument of lineage. Yes, there is. For scriptural interpretation, we need to have a proper lineage. That Shankaracharya is already a proper lineage in the traditional system. Even if we don't accept lineage, we can find out if a lineage is authentic by applying logic and anubhavam. Shruti, in order to find the right interpretation of Shruti, we can use yukti and anubhavam. Those scriptures themselves say that yukti and anubhavam cannot really help us in realizing Brahman, because yukti is part of maya. Yukti is part of an illusion of the illusory world, illusory creation of maya. Therefore, we cannot attain or achieve Brahman through yukti. Yet, to an extreme, we can apprehend or understand whether a system, a particular system, a particular darshanam, or a particular interpretation of the scripture is logical, is the right one. But if we don't apprehend Brahman, even following the right interpretation, that will lead us to nowhere. So that will only end us, that will only make us bound to various limitations. Therefore, people who don't know Brahman, who are unaware of Brahman, who are unaware of the reality of Brahman, which is the essence of all beings, they will be fighting in the name of one thing or the other thing. So when I once went to Kanchi Shankara Madam, there was an old sannyasi. I went with my friend. So there was an old sannyasi who was initiated into sannyasa by the great Kanchi seer of Chandrasekhar and Saraswati Swamigal. So he was called Mahapiriyaval, so he is no more. He has attained Samadhi. He lived for 100 years, so he was very famous. So he had initiated this particular Swami. And when I was talking to him, he started asking about how I learned Vedanta. That learning Vedanta from the right person in the right way is very important. So I said, I learned from Balakrishna Nair. So he started, oh, he's a Nair, he's not a Brahmin. So you should learn only from Brahmin. Then I said, I learned from Chinmaya as well. I listened to, oh, Chinmaya is a Menon, Balakrishna Menon. Chinmaya fought with Dhyananda Saraswati. They had fight and then they left over. So you shouldn't follow all this. I know a Shastri girl in Chennai. You should go and learn from him. So that will be the end. Though Shankara says that Chandalostu Satudvijostu, I forgot the shloka. The Manisha Panchakam speaks about, Shankara says in Manisha Panchakam that even if a person is a Chandala, if he knows the scriptures, if he knows Brahman, then he is my guru. Guru Rityesha Manisha Mama. This is my conviction, that such a person is a guru, even if he is a Chandala. But still, Jati Niti Kula Gotra Durakam Nama Rupa Guna Dosha Varjitam Desha Kala Vishayati Vartiyat Brahma Tattvamasi Bhava Yatmini. In Viveka Chudamani, where Shankara speaks about various sadhanas, contemplation, shlokas for contemplation, he says, one of the shlokas, Brahma Tattvamasi Bhava Yatmini. Contemplate as to Brahma Tattvamasi, that Brahman I am. Which Brahman? What are the qualities or the nature of such a Brahman? Jati Niti Kula Gotra Durakam. Durakam or Duragam, I guess. I don't remember exactly now. So far or different, distinct from Jati, Niti, Kula, Gotra, etc. So we speak about various Kulas. This Kulam, that Kulam, Bharadvaja Gotram, this Gotram, that Gotram. We speak about a lot of things. But Jati, Niti, Kula, Gotra, all these are away from Brahman, because Brahman is beyond all this. All these are only for the body, whereas Brahman is far away from this. Brahman or the Atman has no relation to body at all. It is the substratum in which body, the illusion of body is seen. So a person who is attached to the body, a person who is attached to these notions, will never be able to realize Brahman. So that is what he says there. Jati niti kula gotra duragam nama rupa guna dosha varjitam. Varjitam dosha, dosha varjitam, the dosham, or various faults of nama rupa gunam, namam rupam gunam, the dosham, three dosham, they are not there in Brahman. Desha kala vishaya ativartiyate, the three limitations of desham, kalam, and vishayam, time, space, and causation, all these three limitations don't limit the Brahman because it is unlimited. So that Brahman I am, contemplate in your mind. So a sannyasi who has been initiated from a Shankaracharya, one of the Shankaracharya of one of the oldest Shankaraman, he is so attached, so associated to the body that he cannot accept any other person's statement as valid if such a person is not a Brahmin, he's not in a proper jati, proper kula, proper gotra. So what is the purpose of such knowledge? When Shankara himself speaks about as to, oh, what you say is wrong, Shankara's shloka speaks about contemplation at the paramarthika level. Vyavaharika level, all these are still there. That cannot be said because paramarthika level, there is no bhavayatmani. There is no contemplation at the paramarthika level. It's at the vyavaharika level and for the sadhaka that Shankara gives the path as contemplation. So if Shankara speaks about contemplation, it is at the Vyavaharika level. And at the Vyavaharika level itself, the sannyasi is so attached to all these things. He is a sannyasi, he claims to be an Advaiti, he is a follower, he is a torch bearer of the one of the, he is part of one of the Shankara mand which is propounding and doing lot of things regarding Advaita. And the person who initiated him, he is a person who roamed around entire India, almost entire India. He met with saints of other philosophies like Vaishnava, Shaiva, etc. And he propounded Advaita to a large extent. He was a role model and considered to be an avatara of Shankara by many people. And such a sannyasi who had been initiated from such a great Mahatma, he is so associated with things in the world. So the moment we forget Brahman, whether we are followers of Advaita, whether we are the Shishya of Amma or any great saint, whether we are the Shishya of even Adi Shankara, it doesn't matter. If we apprehend Brahman, then we are saved. If we don't apprehend Brahman, then we are doomed. So there is no other way. Like any person who doesn't apprehend Brahman, he will be lost in the world in one or the other thing, because he is in a dual world. So any sadhana we can take, like these 15 or any other sadhana, any sadhana that seems to be useful, that seems to help us in the spiritual path, we can take it, remembering Brahman to be the goal. So people who forget Brahman while doing sadhanas are like people who get into a train, but forget their goal, forget the stop they have to get down. So it's quite common among people, many people, to sleep in the train, thereby lose their station and then get back again. So at least for such people, they know the goal, but there was a lapse in their mind. Therefore, they lost the goal, but they still know the goal, therefore they can come back. But until we know the goal, we'll end up in a wild goose chase. We'll be traveling in a train. We'll never know where to get down because we don't know the goal. That will be the state. So we should always remember that any sadhana will or should have the goal of Brahman or attaining Brahman. That Brahman, Advaitiya Brahman, which alone exists, that should be the goal of all sadhana. That should be in our background, in our mind. Whenever we are doing any sadhana, we should remember that these sadhanas are meant for purification of the mind and removal of ajnanam. So removal of ajnanam is the goal, is what is to be served by these sadhanas. When ajnanam is removed, then swarupa jnanam, or one's own natural self, is revealed. So all these sadhanas are not meant to attain Brahman because Brahman is already attained. It's only used to remove ignorance, that ignorance which veils or seemingly veils Brahman. So if we forget that, then we'll end up nowhere. Even if we are disciples of great Mahatmas, even if we know a lot, we can, even if we can meditate for hours, even if we can get into samadhi for years, yet we'll not get bliss, because bliss can happen only when ajnanam vanishes, and that is possible only through remembering Brahman as the ultimate goal behind any sadhana. So therefore maunam, Shankara is speaking about maunam. So this is also like Tyagam, as I said, this is like Tyagam. Maunam also has different aspects to it. So the simplest maunam that we all know and we speak about is keeping mum, or not speaking, external, the vag indriyam, or the organ of speech, the sense organ of speech, which is when it is inactive, then we say that such a person is in silence, he is in maunam. So people in India, ancient people who think they are doing a lot of things, they do fasting, they do maunam, so they keep mum, yet in their mind lot of activities will go on. So they will think that they are doing maunam, but internally the mind will be in many thoughts. So that is not real maunam. Real maunam is when the mind is focused on Brahman. So it's not the same as chanting a mantra. It's also generally acclaimed or proclaimed that chanting of maunam, different people have different opinion, different views, depending on their master, depending on their knowledge about maunam. Some may claim that the mind should not do anything, that is maunam. Some may say that, okay, you should chant mantra, chanting mantra in your mind, that is maunam. Some else may say that, okay, you should contemplate on a form, that is maunam. Some else may say that, okay, contemplate on Brahman. So Shankara says here that Vedantic sadhana, if maunam is to be a sadhana that is going to help a sadhaka realize Brahman, it's a Vedantic sadhana, then it should focus on Brahman. So how can a person do such a maunam by focusing on Brahman? Yasmadvacho nivartante aprapya manasasah yan maunam yogi birgamyam tad bhavet sarvada buddhah. So yasmad vacho nivartante aprapya manasasah. So this is like, we know this particular shruti quoting, which says that yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasasah. Like where, or reaching where, or unable to reach where, words return back along with mind or thoughts. That means that which is not attainable by words and thoughts. So yasmad vacho nivartante, wherein words return back, words have no prasakti, words are not valid, even as mind and its thoughts, that is maunam. And that maunam is yogi birgamyam, that is achieved by yogis. And tat bhavet sarvada buddha. Buddha, wise people, tat bhavet sarvada, should always stay or observe such a maunam, such a silence. So if we analyze yogis, so Krishna's word of Krishna's definition of yoga is siddhya siddhyoho samo bhutva samatvam yoga uchyate. A person who is siddhi and asiddhi, or like good and bad, ones like things which are favorable and unfavorable, among all dual notions, a person who is samaha, samabhavana, who is maintaining equanimity, who is maintaining equipoise of the mind, such a person is a yogi. And samatvam yoga uchyate, that samabhavana, being constant, being without any thoughts, without any wavering thoughts in the mind, that is yoga. So even in the sixth chapter, while speaking about yoga or yogi, Krishna says that a person who sees Brahman, who sees the self in all and all in self, he is a real yogi. So yogi is a person who is, we may consider yogi as a person who does lot of yoga sadhana, who does yama, niyama, pranayama, who has achieved siddhis and all, but that's not real yogi. A real yogi is a person who has controlled his mind, who has gone beyond the mind. And he has gone beyond the mind by realizing Brahman. And so the maunam of yogi that Shankara is speaking about here is that state wherein thoughts don't affect the mind. That state wherein there are no words and thought. That means being in the state of Brahman. So how can we be in the state of Brahman while we are in the world? That is the Sakshi Bhavam. If a person is able to contemplate or be the Sakshi, a Sakshi is unaffected by thoughts. So that is the state. The state of Sakshi is something which cannot be explained, which can be mentioned, or like as we say, this is Sakshi Bhavam, we say. But still we cannot really put it into words, even as we say about other things, or clear definition is impossible, because that is something which is beyond expression or beyond words. So if we are a Sakshi, the moment we are a Sakshi, the moment we are in the Atman, the Sakshi Atman, then we are in Maunam. That is real Maunam. So that is real Maunam, because during that state, in that state, activities of the mind are still continuing, yet we are without any thoughts, we are without any words. So we may say that controlling of the mind, or removing, negating thoughts of the mind, is a direct way to Maunam, because there are no thoughts of the mind. But that is not permanent. It is a temporary, because a person can never be away from the world for long. Therefore, it's not permanent. There is a temporary solution. A person will again have to return back to the world. But real Maunam is real control of the mind, or as Ramana Maharshi would say, it is layam and nasham. Laya vinashane ubhayarodane layagatam punar pavatino mritam. So Ramana Maharshi speaks about two ways of controlling the mind. So one is through prana, through control of prana, through sadhanas, yogic sadhanas, yoga darshana sadhanas, we can control the mind. That is a layam. Layam is a state wherein it's a state of sleep or merge. So it is temporary. You go back and then you come back again. You have to come back again. But nasham, or negation of the mind, complete destruction of the mind, is permanent. So laya vinashane ubhaya rodane. Rodanam, or control of the mind, is of two types. One is merging layam, and one is nasham. And layam, layagatam punaha bhavati no mritam. So when layam happens, then the mind will come up again after some time, whereas when it dies, when nasham happens, then it will never return back. So that nasham, how can we destroy the mind? The mind cannot be destroyed. So people might interpret things wrongly. Oh, Ramana said to go into the Atman, find out who am I. Try to find out who am I. Try to find out the source of the mind. When we find the source of the mind will vanish. That's not the case. If we are in the world, if we perceive objects in the world, then mind will still be there. So what he is meaning by nasham there is knowing that the mind is not there. Because that is the nasham. There cannot be any destruction for the mind. We cannot destroy the mind, because the mind is always there. We cannot destroy the mind as well, because the mind is not at all there. The mind is an illusion. Any illusion has no existence at all. So the way to destroy an illusion is to know that it is not there. Therefore, what a sadhaka, what a person has to do, or the real control, real destruction of the mind is knowing that there is no mind. And that state wherein we are, when we know that there is no mind, there are no works, there is no mind, that is the state of Sakshi. And that is the state of Atman, that Atman which cannot be explained through words or can be grasped through thoughts. And that is the state of a yogi, because yogi, whatever be the activity he is doing in the world, he is unaffected. He has samabhavana because he is unaffected, because he is a Sakshi. So he may be acting in the world, he may be doing activities in the world, yet he is unaffected by things because he is the Sakshi, he is the witness. So that is real destruction. Real destruction is when a person realizes the self, when a person goes into the Sakshi Bhavam, wherein he knows that there is no mind at all. So he may still be seeing activities, because we see Shankara himself has explained about Prarabdham beautifully, yet from an Ajnani's point of view, we may see the yogi, we may see the Jnani as doing activities in the world. So the only thing is an illusion, the illusion of dream. If we consider illusion of dream, though we know that there is no dream, we still see dream. So it can be something similar to that. But for a jnani, from a jnani's perspective, he may see things, but he knows clearly there is not even, not even little doubt in his mind that there is no mind, there are no thoughts, there is no world. So he, even if he sees that, he knows for sure that there is nothing. So it's like telling a person sees rope on the way and he thinks it is snake. Then another person says, okay, I also was like you, but I went near and I saw that there is no snake, it's only rope. I am clear. So whatever the other person might say, no, I see it raising his hood. I see it's like coming to bite. It's ready to pounce. Then whatever the person says to the other person, the person who knows that it is only the rope, he will say, I know there is no snake there. I know for sure because I have experienced it. So once a person is in that state, in the state of Atman, he realizes the Atman, then he will know. And for a sadhaka, the more and more a person does this sadhana of maunam, maunam being sakshi bhavam, or samabhavana or sakshi bhavam. So a person follows sakshi bhavam, a person tries to widen the gap between himself and words as well as thoughts. So the person, he is not the thinker, he is not the speaker. So the more and more he differentiates the ego and the Atman, ego and himself, the sakshi himself, then he will be able to gain more and more conviction about the illusory nature of the world. So initially he may be a sakshi for some time, but the more and more he does this maunam, the more and more he resides in the sakshi bhavam, in the state of sakshi, then the more and more his conviction will grow, the more and more he will be able to enjoy the bliss which is his own nature. And the more and more he does that, Ajnanam gets reduced, and finally Ajnanam will completely get reduced, that not even for a single moment he will have sorrow, not even for a single moment he will consider the world as real, not even for a single moment will he forget that the world is an illusion. So that is the sadhana of maunam. So all these sadhanas, it may seem that all these sadhanas are almost like the same. So Yama, Niyama, Tyaga and Maunam. So Yama, Shankara said about Yama as like Sarvam Brahmeti Vijnana Indriya Ghama Samyamaha. So control of sense of organs, or the sense organs, whenever they perceive anything, then know them to be Brahman. So that is external vision, we can say. Niyama, so Niyama is trying to follow or have the thought of Brahman always. Tyaga. Tyaga is asserting. Asserting whatever is seen. Asserting everything to be Brahman. Negation of Namarupam and seeing things and Brahman. So Tyagam and Yama seem to be the same because Yama is controlling sense organs. You can control sense organs only when you know that everything is Brahman. So asserting everything to be Brahman. And in Tyagam, you are negating Namarupam through asserting Brahman. So there is only the additional part of negation of Namarupam as well in Tyagam. Whereas in Yama, you are just asserting everything is Brahman. And Maunam is when a person is in a Sakshi Bhavam. So all these might seem to be same, seem to be almost similar. It is just the perspective that differs. And we should remember that all these sadhanas are meant to have Nididhyasanam, the same thing of Nididhyasanam. All these are meant to strengthen one sadhana, which is Nididhyasanam. So obviously, all these should have the same path, or all these should be very similar to each other. So they wouldn't get confused or say that, oh, Shankara is giving the same thing again and again. It is the same thing. Oh, this guy is always speaking about Brahman. Even though Shankara is giving different word, this guy is telling that everything is Brahman. All these sadhanas are same. He is telling as if like everything is same. 107 shlokas we have learned, and each of the shloka he says it, everything is Brahman. It is the same Brahman that is pointed out. So don't get confused. Don't get agitated. It is normal to get confused. It's normal to get agitated when such thing happens. But remember that all these sadhanas are meant to achieve just one goal. So everything has to be focused on that one thing. Though Shankara might not directly point, though his scripture might not directly point to Brahman yet, we have to ensure that we focus on Brahman because that is the goal. If we forget the goal, as I said earlier, if we forget the goal, then we will end up in sorrow. If we remember the goal and do any sadhana, we'll be safe. So try to follow this Maunam or the Sakshi Bhavam. So all these sadhanas, the more and more from different perspective we try to practice. So one day I'll try, okay, we have 7 days in a week, or in a month we have 30 days. So 2 days I'll try Yama. So I'll focus only on Yama. And the next 2 days I'll try on Niyama. Next 2 days I'll try on Tyagam, or whatever Tyagam does, or whatever Tyagam is said. And the next 2 days I'll not focus on everything is Brahman. I'll not focus on control of sense organs. I'll not focus on Jagan-mithya, but I'll try to be a Sakshi. I'll try to follow the real moment of being a Sakshi, being in that state which is beyond thoughts, beyond words. Such a way, if a person does, then within no time he'll realize Brahman, because that will help in Nididhyasanam or quick Nididhyasanam and make us realized beings or ever blissful. We'll continue with the next sadhana in the next day. Hari Om.